Good to be here this morning. It's good to see all of you come out today. The Lord ranked Daniel lesson today on yielding ourselves service to obey. We find out a text this morning from Romans chapter 6. You'll turn with me there. Romans 6, we're going to read several verses from there. Romans 6. Verse 3, Paul says, "Know ye not that so many of us as are baptized into Jesus Christ are baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of his Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Look on down to verse 11. "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign or rule in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God." We come down to verse 16. "Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves service to obey, his service ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were except for sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which is delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." And Paul says here about how people and what we do with our life, how we yield ourselves to God as a Savior. You may have not thought about that when you obey God, you're yielding yourself to God. And when you obey Satan, you're yielding yourself to Satan. Somebody might ask you, how does Satan get into our lives? The same way that God gets into our lives. We let him in. We allow God to come in, or we allow Satan to come in. We make decisions in life, and sometimes those decisions are good, sometimes they're not so good. But we yield ourselves to either God or Satan. And the Bible tells us that we can't serve two masters. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus said that. He said, you're going to hate one and love the other. You're going to cleave to one, despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You will not serve God and Satan. Now, if somebody asks you, and you better be frank about this, who are you serving? What would you say? What would you say? What would be the truth about your life? If they ask you, who are you yielding yourself service to obey? Who would it be? And we want to say God. And we want to say it because we want God to accept us in our own way of living, don't we? We want to go to heaven someday. I've written on the door up here for you. You can make them read that. I hope you can. But do we have a hard time of turning loose of sin? Yes or no? Do we? If you ever had some sin in your life, you had a hard time of getting rid of it? It's so much a part of you, you've been that way for long, you didn't want to change. It's not easy, is it? It's not easy to give up something that you've done for so long because you've lived that way. We may think, I want to live like I want to live and still go to heaven. Would you not agree? We want to live like we want to live, like we always live, but we want to go to heaven someday. Do we have a difficult time of putting God's word into practice? But how can any of us say it's not that way? Now sometimes the Bible, when you read it, you say, well, I don't believe it saying what it means, but it is. And it means what it says. And we can't get around it. You know, Peter talked about that. If some people take the scriptures and twist the scriptures, and use the word rest, W-R-E-S-T, but the word is twist. He said they do it for their own destruction. They take the Bible and kind of twist it to make it say something else, but it doesn't say something else. You know, the Bible is a very personal book. The Bible is about change. Getting your life to change from serving Satan to serving God. And we've got to take it personal. We can't think about it meaning it to somebody else. It means it for me. I've got to apply it to my life. The Bible isn't hard to understand. The problem is with the wrong attitude. And if we've got the wrong attitude, we're not going to apply it to our lives. You know, people that sell real estate will tell you the three most important things about selling a place is location, location, location. And you know what I think the three most important things about the Christian life is attitude, attitude, attitude. If we've got the right attitude, if we've got an humble attitude, we're going to serve God. And that's how we yield ourselves to God, by having the right attitude. We've got to have an attitude that whatever God says, I'm going to accept it, and I'm going to live that way. No matter if it's hard, no matter if it hurts, no matter what it costs me, no matter what I've got to walk away from, I'm going to yield myself to God and be His servant, because I do want to go to heaven when I die. Have you ever thought about this? Later on in life, you're going to make some changes. You ever done that? I think we all have. You say, well, when I get old or this, I'll change. But let me tell you this. The older you get, the more set in your ways you're going to be. Oh, yeah. And the harder it's going to be to change. You know, I saw a chart one time about people being baptized. And it showed the number of people that were baptized up to age 19. And so many are, the percentage is just great for people to be baptized. But after 19, you all see the chart how it drops. Very few in comparison to the population of the world are baptized. And you get it on past 70 along in there, it almost gets to none. It's very surprising. The reason is that we don't like change. We don't want to change. And we've yielded ourselves so long to serve Satan, and we see what God expects of us as servants of His, and we say, well, we're not willing to pay the price for it. We're not willing to do this. And that's what today is what I want to talk to you about, is yielding yourself to God. Yield yourself to what He says. Yield yourself to what is right. In John chapter 3, He talks here about why we may not do this, why we may not yield ourselves to Him. He says in John 3, verse 18, He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Do you enjoy darkness rather than light? Had you rather be home today watching some program on television? Or had you rather be in the house of the Lord? Where is your love? Where is your heart? Where are your thoughts? What do you love? What do you enjoy? Who do you enjoy being company with? What do you enjoy talking about? Do you feel ill at ease to talk about the Bible with your friends, with your wife, with your husband, with your kids, with your parents? You know, we were at a church camp this year. This guy said it. He said, you know, I think back about my childhood. I never had a spiritual impact on my family. And I thought so much about that since then. What he said. Of course, you can't change that. And you can't change that if you have not had one on your finger, but you can change what you are doing now. You know, you men must be the spiritual leader of your family. You must be. In verse 20 it says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." And what he's saying is, we don't mind hearing what God's word says, because we know that our deeds are according to God's law. Because we give ourselves to God to obey His law. And we don't love darkness. We love the light. And His word is the light. His word lights our pathway. Proverbs says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." What are your thoughts? As you think, so you are. You know, we're made up of three things, so to speak. Our thoughts, what we say, and what we do. We're all that way. We have thoughts, and we say certain things, and we do certain things. But as you think, so you are. And if you read certain things and watch certain things that are not godly, you're going to have thoughts that are not godly. And you're not going to yield yourself to God. We have to change what goes into our mind. In Titus chapter 2, in verse 11, Titus 2 and 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust." The things that we've got to deny, he says, they're ungodly and they're worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, I've been, last few weeks, the revivals here in Randolph County, I've been impressed by several young people, boys and girls, about their sober-mindedness. And that's encouraging. See that. You know, the Bible encouraged young men to be sober. You remember that? Because girls need to be sober-minded too. And us adults, we need to be sober-minded. Set the right example for them to see God in our lives. And so he tells us here, Paul tells us, we live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Look at verse 13. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the God, of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ." How many of us really look forward to seeing the Lord come back? He said, "I think that's going to be a long way off." Well, we don't know. In fact, Jesus Christ does not know when the end of time will come. He said so. Only God knows when the end of time. We've had people to prophesy and say, you know, it's going to be next year. What, 06, 06, you know, 66, and then this year, 06, 06, 2006. Come and gone. He has to come back here. We don't know when he's coming back. But how many of us look forward to his coming back? How many of us really want to see the Lord someday? Looking forward to that blessed hope. "He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity," or all sin, "and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." So God wants you to be a person that is zealous of good works, of doing good deeds, of doing what is right. That's what righteousness is, doing the right thing. You remember in Ephesians chapter 6 and 1, he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And you do things in your life because why? Because it's right. You know it's the right thing to do. And that's righteousness. You came to church today, probably because, hopefully because, you knew it was right. Do what is right. You don't love darkness. You love the light. You come to light because you love the Lord. Maybe sometimes we say, "Well, you know, I serve the Lord, that don't cost anything." We're not willing to give up our money, our time, our talents. Well, we must be willing to do that. We must be willing to stand up and speak up for God. You might remember reading the book of Revelations. He talked about the judgment bar of God He talks about people there that will be lost. He talks about people, and using the word, be fearful, along with the unbelieving. But he uses the word fearful. Now, you might say, well, he's talking about me being afraid of the dark or being afraid of strange things, whatever. He's not talking about that. He's talking about being afraid to do anything for God. Afraid to speak up. Afraid to speak out. Afraid you might be not accepted in the company of your friends if you speak out for God. That's what he's talking about. We must not be fearful in doing that. And our Lord was very, what would we say, upfront. He was just wide open like it. He just told you like it was. And that's where the Bible is. And he doesn't spare us. He doesn't worry about if it's going to hurt your feelings or make you angry. He just tells it like it is. And that's what we need today. We need to hear the truth. We need to be willing to obey the truth and yield ourselves unto God. A living sacrifice. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, if you want to turn with me. I beseech you therefore, brethren. Now you might notice what he says, brethren. He's not talking about to the world, he's talking about to brothers, members of the church. By the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, as we present our bodies a living sacrifice, we do what is right. We follow God's law, don't we? How many times have we really sacrificed in life? That's a good question, isn't it? How many times have you really made a sacrifice? How many times you've done something and just, you know, you've had plenty anyway, so you did something to somebody else because, you know, you gave them some money, you'll say, and you didn't really miss it. It was not really a sacrifice, was it? How many times have we really sacrificed? Did you sacrifice to come here today? Well, maybe, maybe not. You know, I can't say I did. I can't. Because I had a car to ride in, paved roads to ride on, air conditioning to keep me cool as I rode. I mean, what sacrifice is that on my part? I didn't walk. Some of y'all used to walk right here to this congregation. I've heard y'all talk about it, walking through these woods over here, come to school and to go to church. Some of you didn't have shoes to wear when you did that. That's right. People rode horses and wagons, did a lot of things that we don't have to do today. And in many ways, you could say they sacrificed. But how many times have we really sacrificed in service to God? And we really given and done something that we actually needed and wanted, but we gave it away. You might remember hearing me tell a little story. I think it's so well fits this. This child that saved his money to buy that toy that he wanted so bad. He saved it for some time. He saved his allowance. So finally he had enough. He was going to the store to buy the toy. He stopped by his friend's house that was sick. And so in talking with his friend told him about the same toy that he wanted that the child was going to buy for his own self. But his sick friend told him about that toy he wanted so much and that he couldn't get it because he didn't have the money. So the little fellow goes in his pocket. This money saved for so long, he pulls it out. He's got just enough to give his friend so he can buy that toy for himself. The little boy didn't get the toy. Well, you could say that was sacrifice, couldn't you? Because he gave him everything he had. And why did he do that? For a show? No, he did it because of love. And that's what sacrifice is about, man. Which is in our bodies a living sacrifice. It goes on to say in verse 2 of Romans 12, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what's that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And the Bible here says, uses the word transformed. We get the word metamorphosis from. And metamorphosis is changing the caterpillar to the butterfly and the tadpole to the frog. That's where this word comes from. Right here in Romans 12 and 2. It's transformed. And so it's one life for a different life. One life form to a different life form. And that's what the Bible's talking about. If you renew your mind by studying God's Word, you will be transformed because you will be changed. God's Word will change your life. And if you don't study your Bible, you're not going to change. If you don't study your Bible, you're not going to change. If you don't study your Bible, you're not going to change. You're not going to do it. You've got to study the Word if you expect to change. Because if you study the Bible, it causes you to appreciate it. Because you can't help but do that to read it. It's that kind of book. You see, so many things that's been done for you and done for me and done for the whole world. And when you appreciate, you love. Have you ever stopped sometimes and reflected on your parents, what they've done for you? You have, haven't you? When you think about what they've done, what they've sacrificed, what they've given up for you. How many mothers have set up with a sick child? How many daddies have worked long and hard hours? How much have they done for you? And when you think about it, see, you appreciate it. You appreciate your love. And you love and serve. That's the way it works. And when you read the Bible, you appreciate what God has done and what God is doing. How God has blessed us. You appreciate it. And then you love. And then you serve. Decisions versus commitment. Somebody says, well, I'm going to get a job. Okay. You ever done that? I remember when I was like a 12 years old, I wanted to get a job to live in the grit paper. A lot of you don't know what the grit paper is. But you sold it for a dime, and you kept 4 cents, and you sent in 6 cents. So you couldn't do it when you was 12. Because I tried to get it when I was 12. And they wrote me back and said, you can't do this in 12. So when I got 12, I was sure that I got that little grit paper delivered. I had customs already lined up. You know, it's going to buy it from me. So I did. But anyway, people make decisions to get a job. But you know, once I made that decision to get that job, I had to be, what, committed. Even though it came once a week. To deliver that paper on my bicycle. And I would. I'd get that paper to come in through the mail. And I'd go to the post office and get that paper. And I'd put it on my bicycle. And I'd go deliver it. Maybe I had, you know, 20 people or so deliver it to. And so jobs are like that. You make a decision to have a job, but are you committed to your job? People make a decision to get married. Don't they? But are you committed to your marriage? True? Are you really committed to your marriage? People make a decision to be baptized, to become a member of the Lord's church. But how committed are they? How committed are you? Do you support the church here at Mount Carmel? Do you support the meeting? Do you? Does your words speak louder than your actions? Or do your actions speak louder than your words? Well, sometimes we talk real well. And we get real enthused, seemingly, by what we say. But how committed are we to serving the Lord? In the book of James, chapter 2, in verse 14, James talks here about our works. And he says, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, And what did you say unto them? Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit? And so James here tells us, if you say somebody that's in need of food, or need of clothing, or whatever, and you say to them, well, depart in peace. May God bless you, you might say. But you don't give them what they need. And James says, do you think that's really right? Do you think that's really working? And we know it doesn't, don't we? We know that that's not right. What kind of profit have you done for them? That personal Bible is? You done that? Somebody needed something? You didn't do it? You didn't ask for their need? We have all kinds of excuses reasons we don't do it. Oh yeah, don't. You think of all these things. Well, they could go to work. Look how they look healthy to me. Or they could do this, or they shouldn't have done this, or whatever. We have all these things. But the truth of the matter is, maybe we don't love enough to answer their needs. That's what James is talking about. He's talking about works here. In verse 17, even though faith that hath not works is dead, being alone. It's got to be works along with your faith. You can't just make a decision, but you've got to be committed to it. And then we're off what? A productive member. Let me read you something. There was a study made one time. In most congregations, what do you think percentage of people are active? What would you think? What would you believe? This was this study. In most congregations, how many people are active? That's kind of surprising, isn't it? Does that surprise you? 10 to 15% are active. You may call it the faithful few. Do you think that you, if you're inactive in the Word of the Lord, that you're yielding yourself to God? I'm asking you. What would you let yourself in that? Would you think you're an active member? Or sometimes active? Or many times inactive? He thinks we've got an answer someday for our life. It's not going to matter what I say about you or what you say about me. It's going to matter what the Lord knows about us. What the Lord says about me. And if I yield myself to Satan, Satan will want me to be inactive. And he'll give me all kinds of excuses. If I use them, well, I don't do more for the work of the Lord. And I see a brother like he says here in James, that needs things, our sister, he uses his brother or sister, and I find a reason not to give them that, because I find an excuse somewhere in my mind not to do it. In 1 John 3, in verse 18, let's start at verse 17. 1 John 3, verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And John is saying it's not what you say that you love, it's what you do that shows you love in truth. That's the point of it. It's what we do with our lives. As we yield ourselves to God as His servants to obey Him. It's not what we say. It's what we do. We must use our power. We must use what we have. two big problems in this life. And number one is loving the world. Love not the world, we're told in 1 John 2. Neither things are in the world. All is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. It's not in the Father, but it's in the world. And those things come in people's life in the order he names them there, I believe. Fleshly lust is sexual lust. Lust of the eyes is what you see, it's what you want. You know what I mean? You see it and you want it. This man told me in Mississippi back in February, funeral, he says, you know, what can you buy a child that they'll fix things that they really need? It's going to make them satisfied. What can you buy? But you can't. Never thought about that. You can't. They got it all. Oh, yeah, I like it for a while. It won't be long to be over there. Lust of the eye, and then the pride of life. And that's what happens if we're not careful with our life. We have these things, we save in life, and then we get, and later in life, we have this pride of life that it was in. And then convenience. We want it to be convenient. We want things to be convenient, Paul. Go to church when I feel like it. I don't feel like it today. It's not convenient for me now. Do you ever plan a vacation and leave the Lord out? You ever do that? I always put him first. Where are we going to be on Sunday? Where are we going to meet and worship? Where are we going to have the Lord's table be fed on? Where are we going to be when they say this? There's nothing more important than that right there. Because that's his body and that's his blood. He died for you, he died for me. And brethren, if we yield ourselves to him, if we're going to obey him, we will do what he says. We will be there to worship him. As we should. Let's go back to our text in Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. Know ye not that so many of us have been baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ is raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign or rule in your mortal body. Paul says, don't let sin rule your life. That you should obey in the lust of it. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God. Look at verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself service to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, of obedience unto righteousness. But God, the fact that you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed in the heart that form of doctrine, which delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. And brethren, that's what we want to be, is doing what is right, and yielding our flesh to God. Can we do it? Yes, we can. But we've got to turn loose of sin. We've got to do that. Whatever it is, we've got to turn our back on it and let it go and turn and serve our Lord. As you stand today and sing an invitational song, you're not a member of the church, we invite you to come today to be baptized. Believe on Jesus Christ and confessing his belief publicly by saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. You'll be buried in baptism today for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are a member, you have not lived as you should, we ask you to come back today and confess your faults. Ask for forgiveness and ask for prayer. Once you come together, we stand and we sing.